Now, our Sunday school in the upper level, when we have it there, some of them are here today in the auditorium. We actually were in the book of Hebrews. We had just started it, the book of Hebrews. Now, some people might think that the children are really not ready for the book of Hebrews, but they are. Of course, we know the book of Hebrews speaks of the priesthood of Christ. Now, there's no such thing as a coincidence, you know. I hope you know that. All things, God is sovereign over all things. And our brother Eno this morning, I was very glad you got up, brother, and he spoke of the priesthood of Christ, and I had no qualms about him taking my sermon, my message away. Don't worry about that. And then our brother Kevin, after the morning meeting, they didn't know we were going to speak about Hebrews. And Kevin spoke about the offerings of the priesthood in the book of Hebrews as well, and in the Old Testament. And that really is a sign that God would have us look at the book of Hebrews. Now, the children in our Sunday school class, as I said, they were just into the book of Hebrews. We just started it last week. And we're not studying the whole book in an expository way. What we are doing in our Sunday school class is to try to get people to know about the Lord Jesus Christ if they're not saved, and to get to know him better if any of the children truly are saved. We have a number in our class that have professed faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I have to commend the parents of the children in our class. Those children know a lot more about the Lord Jesus Christ than some grown-ups that I know who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. Don't take that for granted. I commend the parents especially. It's not every child that knows the Lord Jesus Christ in any way. They don't even know about him. These children know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most priceless privilege a human being can have, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that classroom, we go back and forth concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I can tell stories from my own life and from the lives of others and mostly from the scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can't exhaust the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just tell everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong process of getting to know him. And God's word is so precious concerning the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews especially is about the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main theme of the book of Hebrews. And it's not too deep for the children in the Sunday school class. There are things in here certainly that are too deep for me, or too deep for anyone, really, except after a lifetime of study, you begin to pick up. There was one old preacher that was told to me, I didn't know him, but it was told to me, he was considered to be an expert in God's word. There are no experts in God's word, but people used to call him an expert, and he never thought he was. And when he was dying, you know what he said? He said an interesting thing. Maybe you heard it. But he said, on his deathbed, people were commending him for his study of God's word all his life. And he said, it's a wonderful thing. You must really be glad. He said, I am glad to have studied God's word. But he said, I'm just like a little kid on the seashore with a bucket and a little shovel trying to put the ocean into his little bucket. He said, I've just begun to skim its pages, really. So there's no way we can exhaust the study of our Lord Jesus Christ. But having said this, let's begin first in Hebrews. Now, you notice in Hebrews chapter 1, one of the wonderful things about this, there's no greeting. Now, even the greetings in God's Word and the epistles are very important. But you'll notice there are no greetings here. Paul saying to so-and-so, Theophilus in the book of Luke, and so on in different places. No. He gets right down to business, and the first word is God. He said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now this is just those two verses. We were in our Sunday school class, and we were opening that up, trying to do that. And there are so many things in those two verses. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now look at that. Those are just three verses. And they're so poignant, so full of meaning. What he has done is said so much in so little words, so few words. He had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's at God's right hand. We say, where is Jesus today? Some people will ask you when you witness to them, where is he? He said he's on the right hand of the majesty on high, although he's coming soon. We don't know when, but he's coming soon. And what is he doing there? He ever lives to make intercession for us, and we will see that soon. And I'm going to skip some verses that and go right to those that are more pertinent to our discussion this morning. In chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, every man means every man. Every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. There's not a limited atonement. Remember that. There is no limited atonement. The only limit is that not everybody is going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell you something again and again and again from the platform, because Calvinism is coming back. It's coming back with a vengeance. The Reformed teaching, where people are, and part of that Reformed teaching is that Israel is no longer on God's calendar of events as a nation. That's wrong. We can see that now. Why there wouldn't be an Israel if that was so. But also one of their teachings is that it's a limited atonement. But the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid for every sin that ever has been committed or ever will be committed. And that includes your sin and my sin. And that's why we preach the gospel. God has commanded us to preach the gospel for every creature. Why? Because there's no such thing as a limited atonement. If people want to be saved, they'll be saved. If they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, you can't get into McDonald's without a T-shirt and some kind of shoes. It says so right on the door. But God will take you into heaven, but you can't come in there without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only requirement God has for the people, is to be washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what God says. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You younger ones, I hope you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we sin, especially youngsters growing up in Christian homes. Sometimes when we sin, we feel so bad about it. Well, that's good to feel bad about sin. But what you must do is just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell him what you did. He already saw it. He knew you were going to do it before you did. And what does he require? What does he want you to do? Just come to him. Say, Lord, and grown-ups too. This is for everybody. Just say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. And I'm so sorry. You're restored. That's all it is. You're restored. Isn't that wonderful? You can be received back into God's family. You never left it. You were always in God's family. But you're received back into fellowship. You're forgiven. One time I had a little dog. Her name was Tootsie. You know what happened? That dog did something terrible. I already told the kids in the Sunday school about it. The dog did something that dogs tend to do in your living room rug. And I just lost it. I had a bad day. I came home and I saw it. And I said, what in the world did you do? And the dog, this is just a dog now. You know what that dog did? I just sat down on the chair and I just shook my head. And the dog was overcome with guilt. You know what that dog did? And it's a dog. It's only a dog. The dog felt bad. She crawled like this. She didn't get her feet off. She didn't get her belly off the ground. She just crawled and she put her chin on my toe. And I said, Lord Jesus, that dog sinned and I sinned. I lost my temper. And the dog, I forgave the dog and God forgave me. Now, that's, God honors that. God will honor that. He'll honor your penitent heart because he's the one that gave us that penitent heart, that repentance that we need to have. And God does that. He loves to forgive sin. Remember that, younger people especially. You need to know that. We have a priest, the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies, who loves you more than you love yourself and more than you love anyone else. He loves you. Watch this. He just keeps going. That he, by the grace of God, in verse 9, should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What a priest we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great high priest. You know what the privilege is in being a priest? The greatest privilege is the fact that you have access to God. You can call upon the name of the Lord at any time. Night or day, he doesn't keep office hours. Night or day, you're troubled, you wake up at night. I do this all the time. You think I was a little kid with nightmares. I had bad dreams. I had traumatic life. It's traumatic for me. And so what happened is, even to this day, as you're an old person, which I am, I still have bad dreams. And sometimes they wake me up. It's called post-traumatic stress syndrome. They actually have a name for it, I guess. It used to be called shell shock. It used to be called all kinds of stuff. But this, when you have that, or worries that wake you up at night, you know what you do? Just do like I do. Just, you're waking up, and I'm wide awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it is. I look at the clock. It's late. But it doesn't matter. God keeps regular hours, 24 hours a day. And you come to him, and you say, the shortest prayer in the Bible, like Peter spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ when Peter was sinking below the waves because he got his eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, he called upon the Lord and said, Lord, save me. Well, I changed it a little bit. I'm already saved, and I'm not drowning. But what I say is, Lord, help me. And he does every single time. I may stay awake for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but I go right back to sleep. And sometimes I say during the day when something is particularly difficult, I ask him, Lord, help me. And I'm never too far away from him that he can't hear me. I could be a million miles away and he could still hear me. But the fact of the matter is, I don't dare go too far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always there. That's part of his priesthood. Now, what am I? I'm a priest. And if you're saved, so are you. Now, what a priest does, I told the kids in the class, I says, what's the difference between a priest and a prophet? The difference is this. A prophet brings God to the people. And a priest brings the people, including himself, to God. That's the difference. And in the scriptures, there was only one who was both, or not both, but prophet, priest, and king. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one in the scriptures that was all three, prophet, priest, and king. But we're concentrating now on the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great high priest. Now, do you remember? I'm talking down to the kids a little bit here, the younger ones. But do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross? What happened in the temple? You can raise your hand and speak. What happened? Does any of the young ones know? You can say it out loud. It's okay. What happened to the... Yes, Joe?
The veil was rent in two from top to bottom.
That's exactly right. Why? Why was that veil rent, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom? Because only God could reach up there and tear it from the top down to the bottom. The way into the holiest of holies was now open. After the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, you could go in to the holiest of holies. And only the high priest were supposed to go in there once a year, and not without blood. He had to have a blood sacrifice. But the great sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was not only the sacrifice, but he was the great high priest that offered that sacrifice. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, he was the priest who offered himself to God as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins. He had no sin of his own. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior we have. And he loves you. Yes, he loves me. He loves everyone. But not everyone is saved. He came to seek and to save that which was what?
Lost.
Lost. Some people don't even know they're lost. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what? It's a great thing to know that you're lost if you are lost. It's a great thing. What scares every parent is that when their children somehow get away, you can't watch your kids all the time, you know. I only had two of them. And when we went someplace and they were little, sometimes they would get away, and we had taught them what to do when you're lost. When you're lost, you find a policeman or a grown-up. Of course, I don't like to do that either, but try to find one and tell somebody, I'm lost. And then that person, if it's a responsible, good person, will make sure that that little child doesn't stay lost. Well, a parent can't control everything, but it's necessary for that child to know that they're lost. Mom and dad know they're lost, but when the child doesn't know it, that's a problem because they can just keep going. And hopefully they find them in time. But you need to know that you're lost. And that's what God has said. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, if a person gets saved, then what? They still don't know what they're doing half of the time. So how do you fix that? You go to your great high priest. Even though you're a priest, if you're saved, you are a priest, you know. Male or female, boy or girl, men or women, you're a priest. Now, what is a priest? Again, I say it, access to God. Remember the temple, rent from top to bottom? Anyone who trusts on the Lord Jesus Christ has access to God. Are you praying for me? I hope so. I'm praying for you, and I hope you're praying for me. And we hope we pray for each other. Through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to God. You know what we should be doing? Is praying for each other. Priests praying for each other. Before I got saved, really, I was a Catholic, and we had priests in the Catholic Church. And I, you know what God did? It's the strangest thing. You wouldn't think God would talk to the unsaved or show them anything. But he said, "Do you understand what they're doing?" And I said, "No." I thought, and I said, why do I have to have a priest? I didn't understand it. And I was ready for the gospel when it was finally given to me that there are no priests above those who are just in the church. There's no clergy laity. We're all priests before God. Now, how good of a priest do you want to be? That's not the motivation. That's not why we try to be as close to Christ as we can be. You know what happens? Priesthood, the effectiveness of your priesthood happens when you come and stay close to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we have the morning meeting here? Every one of us is taking, we're all on the same level if you're saved. The females, the ladies, the sisters have a quiet ministry. That's in the scripture. And they have their head covering. That's because of headship, which is not taught today anywhere that I know of, except in the assemblies. There's a headship issue, and it's not one above the other. We're all on an equal footing before God as priests. The woman's hair, I'll just say it lightly because I brought it up, the woman's hair is two things. It's her covering. So some people will say, "Oh, I don't have to wear a head covering. I'm covered. I have hair." No, it's also another thing. It's her glory. A woman's hair, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's her glory. And the only glory that should be seen in the assembly is God's glory. That's why men don't wear hats and women do. If a man walks in here, and he has, he's gone now, a man came into our meeting, sat right there in the front. He had a baseball cap on, and he wasn't saved. He sat right here in the meeting. I didn't say a word to him. He wasn't saved, but he didn't take his hat off. Now, that looked a little strange, but it's just as strange for a sister to come into a meeting and sit and not have her hat on. So one thing is just as strange as another, according to God's word. But why does a sister wear a hat or a covering? It's because her hair is not just a covering, it's a glory. And that glory should be symbolically covered. And that's the reason why. But remember now, we're all priests on the same level before God. If you confess your sin, then you're clean. And you're clean because you're saved, but your fellowship is restored once you confess your sin. Just like when my little dog, remember I told you about that dog, she couldn't tell me, "I'm sorry." No, she showed that she was sorry. She crawled over, and could I not forgive her? Could I just not say, "I'm sorry, but I don't forgive you"? It melted my heart. It'll melt anybody's heart. That's why I have a dog. I had a heart. But the thing is, the dog knew instinctively what to do. And that's what we do when we sin against the Lord. Suppose you have unconfessed sin and you can't even forgive yourself. How many times have we done that? Have you ever done anything that you can't forgive yourself for? I have. Quite a few times. And I'm sorry, and I try not to do it, and that's what makes me angry with myself when I sin. And I said, "Didn't you see that coming? You know, stop. Don't do that." And so I had to stop. But the thing is, I shouldn't be talking to myself. I should be talking to God, saying, "I'm so sorry." And God knows you're sorry. He knows that. He knows everything. He knows you're sorry, but he wants you to say it to him. And you know what? If you do that enough times, and we all sin, but we all need to apologize to God, the Lord Jesus Christ restores us, and we get stronger in Christ, and we also get smarter in not doing that again. That's what we have to do. We have to learn. Being a Christian is a continuous learning experience. You have to keep learning. Like somebody in our meeting has an instrument that I dearly love. It's a banjo. And I'm happy when he brings it, and I'm amazed at how well he plays it. But he's got to keep playing it. I heard a piano player, a very classic concert pianist, say, "If I skip one day, I know it, practicing. If I skip 2 days, others start to notice." And he said, "If I skip a week of practice, everybody knows it." Now the thing is, there are people who name the name of Christ who are away from the Lord. They're still saved, but they're away from the Lord. But they haven't gone to the great high priest in so long and confessed their sin to him. It becomes pretty apparent. And some of them, it's been years. You get away a little bit at a time and you don't come back to the great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. The same one who nailed, whose hands were nailed to the cross, loves you and wants you to come back. If you're away from the Lord, and I get away from the Lord every day, I'm not pointing my finger at anyone but me. I get away from the Lord every day, and it makes me angry every time, and I'm frustrated because I wasn't vigilant. My flesh took over, and I had either a thought, a word, or a deed that was careless, if not outright sinful. So what do I do? You keep short accounts with God through our great high priest. He's there. He was there when you needed to be saved, and he's there when you need to be restored. And we all need to be restored every day. Sometimes I go to bed at night, and I'm so grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day." I couldn't feel closer to him. I wake up in the morning, and I'm as cold as a cucumber. How did that happen? Well, I don't get out of bed until I tell the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, "Lord, what happened? I feel cold." I put my chin on his toe. He's like my little dog. I don't have to say anymore. You put my chin on God's toe? That's a figure of speech, of course. God is a spirit, but the Lord Jesus Christ is spirit and flesh. And I can put my chin on his toe anytime I feel like it, and I feel like it all the time. And he will not turn you away. He never will. He'll never get mad at you. He's not going to get mad at you. He'll just look at you and tell you how much he loves you. Well, let's keep going. I think I have time left. I do a lot of talking, don't I? All right. Let's keep going. Turn the page to chapter 5. I want to speak more about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5 of chapter 5. Now, think of the Lord Jesus Christ now. This is the one before angels and saints in heaven, already there, those that have gone before us. What are they doing? The Lord Jesus Christ is there. What's he doing? He's at the right hand of God the Father. We read that. And what is the Lord Jesus Christ doing? He's interceding on your behalf and on my behalf. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He never sleeps. Some people, there was a sign on an electrical truck, and he was made a little motto. He said, a mighty servant that never sleeps. That's electricity. Well, not until the next blackout, then it's a blackout, and nobody has electricity. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty high priest that never sleeps, never slumbers, never gets tired. Imagine that. Never gets tired. Never gets tired of me. I get tired of me. But he never does. He never does. He gets tired? No. When he was on the earth, he got tired because he had a physical, regular body like yours and mine, yet without sin. There was no curse of death in him and no sin in him. But he was weary, but not anymore. He has a glorified body, one that can never die again and one that's coming again. And he's the Lord. He's the great high priest who neither slumbers nor sleeps. People all the way around the world, when it's light out here, it's dark down in Australia. Well, is God sleeping in Australia? No, he never sleeps. He's always awake, ready to hear those saints in Australia or the saints here or anywhere approach him in prayer, our great high priest. Access to God. We are believer priests, and we have the access to God. And do you know, we read in the beginning of Hebrews, there's a little word there that you might not have noticed. It says, heir of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you this, kids, especially. A lot of the grown-ups already know it. Maybe not, but I hope they do. I do. Cause to make you happy. You're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he has, you have. Did you know that? A lot of people today in the world talk about retirement funds. That's good to have. Or money laid aside. God says, yes, you should learn to save money and put it aside for a rainy day and so on. But no, listen to this. You have an inheritance, undefiled, and that fades not away. It's the joint heirship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What he has, you have. Now, what does he have? All things. All things were made by him, and by him all things consist. So anytime you start worrying about money, don't worry about money. I never had that much money. I gave it all away, or I spent it all away on whatever. It's gone. Okay? And that's all right. I can get more. God has always provided. Always. I've always been able to earn money. Don't worry about money, and don't worry about possessions, the things that money can buy. What you do is stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and while you're here, he will provide what you need. You know what? He'll also provide what you don't need. He'll take away the things that'll cause you to stumble. I knew people that had goals in sports. They had goals in finance. They had goals in this. I may have told this before. One time I wanted to be a millionaire when I was 20, in my 20s. I was saved, but I wasn't in an assembly, and I was away from the Lord. And a friend of mine, we were going to become real estate tycoons in Worcester. You know how you do that in Worcester? You buy a three-decker. You move in on the first floor, and you take rent from the second and third floor. And on paper, after you do that three or four times, you're a millionaire. Well, he did his first. He got his first three-decker apartment, moved in on the first floor. On the second floor and the third floor, there were old people living there for 30, 40 years. He told me this himself. They could not meet the rent that he had to charge them in order to pay his mortgage. I said, well, what did you do? He said, I evicted them. I said, evicted them? There's a 1% vacancy rate in Worcester. Where did they go? He said, that's not my concern. He wasn't saved. I said, well, it's my concern, and I don't even know them. He says, I couldn't say anymore. I was completely flabbergasted. And I never brought the subject up again, but I went home that night in my car, and I'm thinking, well, I guess I'm not going to be a real estate tycoon, because I can't do that. I just can't do that. And so I wasn't. and I'm not. What am I? A believer priest under the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. I have riches untold, riches that none of us have ever seen. I have them because I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. How about that? Isn't that better? It's a lot better. Of course it is. It's a lot better. I don't even have to say it. It's a lot better. We all know that. It's a lot better. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like him. Thank God for Christ. Charlene, I say it all the time around the house. She says, you know what? She said, if you die before I do, you know what I'm going to put on your tombstone? What? Thank God for Christ. I said, that's not a bad idea. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for him. Thank him. That's what we did this morning. That's what we do when we live for Christ. We're thanking God for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do. And it's our pleasure to do it. Let's keep turning. In fact, for the length of time, I'm going to just go to Romans. Romans, you know what Mr. Batstone said one time to me? He said, Michael, I'm going to show you two verses that if you do these two verses, you'll live a godly life. I was just a young whippersnapper. And the thing is, he was right. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know it. You've read it before. We've got 5 minutes, 4 minutes. And we'll read it together. It says, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul is speaking. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now wait, remember I told you you're a priest? You're a believer priest? Well, that's what this verse is all about. In verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the office of a believer priest. You make sacrifices to God. You offer yourself up to God every day. You do that, making sure that you're doing this every day, every moment that you're awake, and you think about it. You say, I'm doing this, Lord. I pray. Talk to him. Lord, I'm giving you this for yourself. You see a piece of trash out on the parking lot? I picked one up this morning, right? Sometimes it's a whiskey bottle. I don't want to be seen with a whiskey bottle. But the thing is, I put it in the I pick it up anyway with two fingers. Be careful. I make sure it's empty. And I put it in, bring it in and put it in the trash. Right? That's, you're doing that for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you're doing. You're a servant, a priest. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's servant. Remember that too. He's not just a shepherd, not just a priest, prophet, and king, but he's also God's servant. And he put himself in danger. He put himself between the lion that goes about, the devil, and you. He put himself, he stepped right in there like this. Come on, give me your best. In the wilderness, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't confronted by a demon. He was confronted by Satan himself. He put himself between to show that he could not sin. He could not sin. Let's go to verse 2, but in the time that's remaining, one more minute. And be not conformed. If you're a believer priest walking with the Lord, this will happen. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the fruit of verse 1. That's the result of verse 1. That's what will happen. You do verse 1, verse 2 will happen. And that's the result of it. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Christ, we said, and thank God for Christ, we do. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you, Father, for sending him to do this. And now he ever lives to make intercession for us. Oh, our Father, we're so grateful to thy Son, to thyself, and to thy Holy Spirit, which helps us day by day. Father, we ask thy blessing especially upon the Sunday school in this place. We pray, Father, for every believer, young or old, that Father gathers here. Help us to act out, to live out our priesthood under the great high priest, thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.